You're watching Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, Lady Reg, Bweebum, featuring XV.
Okay, so this is Radio Free Cybertron for April 13th. It's not Friday, is it?
No.
13th, 2011. I am Brian Kilby, and with me I have John DeLuna, XV, Jenny Church, Rob Springer, and Amy, a.k.a. Lady Rec, in family.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going good. How are you, Brian?
We are well.
See, a story.
Has he got a moon pie or something?
Huh? Where?
A moon pie. He was like, oh, I thought you meant Brian. I was like, oh, wish you told anything.
I'll take a moon pie.
Yeah, I want to. I talk about Aldi a lot. I want an Aldi knockoff moon pie.
Do they make those?
They should.
They probably do.
They make Aldi knockoff McDonald's Southern style chicken.
Those Jive bars are pretty tasty.
Yes, I bought.
Yeah, they are. I get those from time to time.
Love Jive.
Mostly just for the name.
And sometimes they're kind of stale, but you just kind of look past that Jive.
Then it's still. But there are others like the.
There's nothing worse than stale Jive, Rob.
But their M&M's knockoff really suck.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, but man, I love Jive. Okay, so yeah, lots of stuff going on this week. We're
actually, Transformers even.
If you're watching live, you already know this, but we're kind of in a primitive state. Hopefully in post, I'll be able to fix it.
Those of you that listen to the show will notice no difference whatsoever.
Whatsoever. But Joe, we're approaching, you know, nearly half as many people watching watching the video as, you know, listening. So that's pretty sweet.
Well, they should watch the video live. I mean, for all of our shows that do live video.
Like Fanboy Versus.
More like Fanboy exciting. Versus.
You what else do you cool have to watch?
Like Nicole destroy a comic book. So
Versus got a really good little fan.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising. We did the whole show, and then afterwards found out that Gail Simone, who writes Secret Six and Birds of Prey, which came out today, listened to the show and like followed us on Twitter and gave us a like on Facebook and commented on McFeely's wall, so yeah, that was kind of awesome.
Is she one of our fans on Facebook now?
Yeah, she liked us on Facebook.
Sweet!
Wow.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So, yeah, it was pretty
cool.
Freaking awesome. We definitely love Gail Simone over on Fanboy Versus.
Heck, we like Gail Simone everywhere.
Well, yeah, because...
It sounds kind of creepy when you say it like that.
Yeah.
Right?
You like all of her.
Yes.
Yeah. I like every post.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump into the news. Hall of Fame voting began today and runs through the 22nd. Up for nomination are Grimlock, Shockwave Jazz, Waspinator finally, and Erector.
Erector.
Stay classy, trans fan.
Erector.
I'm
One
telling
of these
you.
Things is not like
Good
the
job,
other.
Fandom.
It was either Erector or Big Daddy, and I think the fandom chose poorly.
What? Yes. What? Discharge isn't good enough?
Yeah. What was the other one? Drill nuts?
What?
Drill nuts?
Andy isn't good.
Yes.
He was at least in a cartoon, people.
Drill nuts in a cartoon.
Okay, I'm calling it right now. Next year's Hall of Fame, we have got to get Drill Nuts on the list.
Telling you.
Drill Nuts would not count because Drill Nuts was not a Hasbro character.
What?
I don't care.
What's the highlight reel for Rector going to be?
It's going to be
Rector.
Yeah, that's going to be. They're going to be. You know what they'll do? They'll just show like one frame, like just his toy art. It'll be like toy art, Erector. Okay, and the winner is Grimlock. Yay!
I can't wait to hear Aaron talk about Erector.
Dude, it's going to be like
Have
2 seconds. I kid you not. And Erector happened.
Have you read the bio they put up for Erector on the voting site?
Not yet.
No.
Is it awesome?
You should. Go read that right now. Go read that right now.
Where is it at? Hasbro?
If you go to the link and then click on Erector, you'll go right to it.
God. Erector.
Dong.
You should read it to us, Kilby.
Okay. Let me pull up Erector. Sorry, I was just given this wonderful new... Grape Rockstar Recovery.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, sorry. I've been
We don't want you to recover from being a rock star. We want you to be a rock star.
Okay, so Erector. Okay, Transformers fans from around the world nominated 5 robots. Now it's your turn to help determine the ultimate winner. The final vote will begin on Wednesday, April 13th, and close on Friday, April 22nd. Remember, only one robot will win this year's Fan Choice Full Robot Inductee to the 2011 Transformers Hall of Fame. Fan's Choice nominee, Autobot Erector. Wait, what is this? Why am I here? One of the evil Decepticons, Autobot Erector was scrapped from the team in favor of the Decepticon Hook because he wasn't green.
He was his dong.
Autobot Erector had no choice but to join the Autobots and did so at the Battle of Tiger Pax. Is that some sort of canonical thing I'm missing?
Tiger Pax. Was that from the movie Continuity, or has it been shoehorned in?
Like everything's everywhere, so I don't really think it matters.
And everything is shoehorned.
It's all the same world. Whatever.
Derek saved the day by distracting enemy fire with his body, allowing for optimal time and the Autobots to escape the battlefield. Autobot Erector is a true creative genius and now held as the top construction warrior for the Autobot engineer. Autobots. It sounds like something about it's like Deathy if Deathy was a Transformer. It's like he's the greatest of all time. Having designed such models as the Armada Laserbeak Surveillance System.
Wow.
Gear Click Action Weaponry? That's awesome. Director is favored by many Autobots for representing a lost generation of Transformers who prove you don't need to be famous to be loved by all. Click here to go to the voting page so you can vote for Autobot Director. You can do it once per day from April 13th to 22nd. Of course, I am going to vote for Grimlock.
So, I voted for Waspinator.
I think so, I totally see Grimlock winning this. I don't.
I love Waspinator, but Grimlock, man, I got to go.
Well, but the thing is, even if Grimlock doesn't win this year, he'll be an automatic nominee later. You know,
Grimlock.
Mm-hmm. So the Constructicons castrated Devastator basically in order of Hook.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, you don't want your Erector to be
wrong.
It's
got a bit in it.
Oh, wow.
And now
the Erector was not C10 case fresh, so they had to get rid of it.
Yeah. God.
Well, he was a Micromaster.
That's old jokes.
Yeah. speaking of old, the club-exclusive GT Ramjet production sample photo was released. I want it. I want it.
It looks so awesome.
It does look awesome. And it's only going to be, what, $60? So
yeah.
And as it turns out, the factory did some retooling on the mold.
Really?
Yeah. The nose cone is pointier now and has a rubber tip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Safer. I prefer a rubber tip on
the
nose cone.
Yeah.
Especially with Ramjet because, you know, it makes...
It also seems that it will be coming with factory-applied stickers because the tampographs they wanted on the shoulder intakes can't be done in paint.
Ah.
So,
Photoshop?
Probably. That's probably where they made the stickers.
I'm joking. Sorry. But yeah, I want pretty bad.
I appreciate the vacuumized metal on it because it's been quite some time since that's been on an American toy.
Is it?
There probably isn't. If you're looking at the vehicle mode picture, they photoshopped over a Henke Ramjet.
Never mind. It's not good. I can't believe pictures of
damn!
What do you think the chances are someone's going to sue for them because they released this because it's G2 and G2 sucks? Not that I think G2 sucks. I love G2. But there are people out there.
By value.
Hey.
No, what it would be is later on, Hasbro would in some capacity do their own G2 Ramjet somehow. And then somebody would sue over that because their club exclusive toy is not an exclusive anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's actually put it to the IQ test. Hasbro will release a purple jet Decepticon at some point and they will sue.
Slipstream.
Yeah.
I think that Hasbro ought to sue itself, like those Coke Zero guys are constantly trying to sue Coke. Yeah, that would be funny.
Coke Zero guys?
No. Don't watch TV? No. Okay.
Yeah, it was part of the Coke Zero advertising campaign.
They still did. They had a couple of new ones, but yeah.
The commercial had Coke's people going to a lawyer asking if they could sue Coke Zero for tasting like Coke.
Yes.
Okay. I may have heard that on the radio, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, so Transformers Headmasters is going to be released on DVD, which I think we know. But we actually got a price and a release date.
Yes.
So
It'll come out on July 5th for $30.
July 5th. So I should be able to download that on
July 4th.
Yeah, probably.
No word yet whether it will have an English dub track or not.
If it doesn't, it will be fail.
Nobody will buy that for just the subtitles.
This opens up a very cool possibility, guys. You realize that, right? Because this is going to be sold at Walmart for $20 right as Dark in the Moon Fever Pitch will be set in, and people will just be randomly buying Transformers logoed stuff for their kids. Think about the possibilities here. What's your favorite Decepticon? Six-Shot, why?
I am the Decepticon Ninja.
The ninja can control him from Cybertron.
Exactly. Think of the possibility. Look at me like, my favorite Deceptic Autobot is Billy.
The thing is, kids won't be buying this.
Now we understand why that show is called New Soundwave.
Yes. No.
wait. Just hit me more. The people that still are like, even though it's on the hub at midnight, it's been on DVD twice for readily available, people will now go, okay, you guys are right. Maybe G1 isn't that great.
That's great. That would be awesome.
Ooh, maybe that cartoon isn't as good as I remember.
People, even though Transformers the movie has been released on DVD, what, 3 times now, people are still saying it's the greatest movie yet.
True. I'm just, they'll be like, hey, I bought that. Yeah, when Transformers had originally from Japan... Yeah, those. I got one. I got it at Walmart. Man, what? Oh, can I return this? This is...
So, one weird thing that we found out this week is Takara is going to release a set of Dark of the Moon and G1 versions of Prime and Megatron.
Yeah. Huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you always wanted to buy a Voyager movie Prime and a reissued G1 Prime in the same box.
So what I really
but you're short on time and resources.
I'm really jonesing though for a Voyager Megatron and then a G1 Megatron with an orange cap, just shoved into it. That's exactly.
I wonder if he
shoved up his hole.
I'd get it if movie Megatron had an orange cap.
Yeah, they have to do it though. I mean, Big Bad Toy Store or whoever does that really needs to paint one on it just to.
I want to see the American version, which is we'll have the Legends G1 Prime and Megatron shoved in with a deluxe.
Yeah.
Well, during Cybertron, Hasbro wanted to do sets with the smallest Transformers, Optimus and Soundwave.
Yeah.
Yep. And it never happened.
I think didn't they, 07 movie did the, Classics Prime and the Fast Action Battlers Optimus together in a 2-pack.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I saw that at Walmart.
Yeah, people bought it.
Japan then should do a new the Century Optimus or whatever that they did that came out with the Action Master Prime and do have a super box that comes out with Convoy and Action Master Prime and then the Legends and it'd be a whole. They could charge $300 for it, and it would have and Masterpiece Prime. That would be awesome.
Yes.
If they ever do this though, Hasbro does something, they should put some fine print saying, "No, really, that's the original toy."
No, you know what Hasbro's version would be? It would be Voyager Dark of the Moon Megatron with Robot Masters Beast Wars Megatron.
Yes.
I like where this is going, XD.
that Robot Masters Megatron kind of sucks, though.
Yeah, still.
That's kind of the point.
Well, I know. I like the one, was it Armada that came out? The deluxe-sized one?
What?
Was it Universe?
Yes. Yeah, that was... I know
it's Super Trauma because it had a key.
Yeah, it was. They did the Beast Wars anniversary, and then they did the
Cybertron.
I actually like that one.
That's a great
model. Yeah, that one's good.
You know, if we keep this up, it's going to be Reverse Convoy in that box. got hair curlers on, Mama.
Reverse Convoy is my least favorite toy ever.
I like the toy.
It's my most favorite story concept.
I like the toy because it's meh. I'm Prime, and the Convoy head looks great. No, really, I'm Megatron. Let me just pull this head out of my gun.
I don't know.
I'm Reverse Convoy, your new ally. Ha ha, fooled you.
Did you guys guess I was Megatron the whole time? Well, I can smell your axe like a mile away, D-bag.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like the Baron Munchausen of the Transformers. It's like, I'm really Megatron. Ha ha!
Actually, so, the real Megatron. Takara Toy Show exclusive Dark Side Optimus versus Dark Side Megatron. So basically, they took the WFC molds. I think that's the first time I've actually said that out loud. The War for Cybertron.
Yeah, it is. And it sounds really stupid. If I would remember you using it before.
Yeah, so if they weren't like awful toys and it wasn't like an awful repaint, you know. It might not be
that. Oh, yeah. Megatron hardly looks different.
I know. Not to find me up. It's exactly how I pictured a black repaint of that toy.
Well, the thing about this is the same as a black repaint of any Prime toy.
Yeah.
Takara is original.
So, yeah. I don't even know why we had to mention that one. It's there.
Slightly shinier Roomba Megatron, limited releases.
I would love to have a Roomba Megatron.
I'd like a Transformers story where Megatron transforms into a Roomba.
Well, in Revenge of the Fallen, he turned into a snow crab, right? I mean, it's getting close, guys.
So this is, I think, the neatest story of the week. Takara Tomy warns Japanese retailers to not handle third-party Transformer products, or else.
It was coming a long time.
Do you like those kneecaps?
Yeah, at Transformers on the Moon, there's actually a list of things that Takara specifically named that they should not be carrying.
Oh, really?
To avoid infringing on the trademarks.
Don't you dare go to business.
Things such as the cup headset, the scouting force X, which is the reflector based set, the primary school primers. I don't know if you've seen the super deformed Optimus Prime, and I think there's another one. Head robot's blood, which I think is an upgrade for Bludgeon.
I believe so.
B01, which is iGear's basically mini-bot Bumblebee knockoff, and two of the crazy Devi add-on sets.
You know, I can understand, you know, like the Springer, or like the add-on sets for, like the extra figures for like the Energon Bruticus and stuff. Like that stuff I get, because essentially it's replacing another figure, or your product that you might buy, that you're going to buy this instead. But like stuff like the cup heads, like you have to buy cup in order for the heads to even matter. So,
and here's the thing too. Presumably, this is part of a move to cut off the distribution channels. But for all these iGear things they're targeting, iGear has their own web store. Yeah. Which, China or something, they can't touch them anyway.
It's interesting. It's interesting that Hasbro, you know, sort of lets this stuff go by not doing anything. And Takara, who has for the last, you know, 12 years bastardized the Transformers line, is really going out of their way to try to squelch this. But it seems like, you know, they should just start copying this stuff because it's selling. You know, Takara will sell stuff. Or make something if it'll only sell like 5 units.
Yeah,
you know,
because they only produce 5 units.
And
I've gotten a theory actually about this that I formed the other day. And it's not me saying dongs or anything. It's a real theory.
As opposed to
Takara, well, we know they're doing this to protect their IP and their license, right? Takara, unlike Hasbro, Takara does mini licenses where you can get a short-term license for just like a short term, like those Wonderfest exclusives are official up to when you, after the con's over and the license is over, and it's just official just for the con and stuff like that. Well, that's a license is a big source of income for any company with a property because, as you know, it's not only do they have to pay them bucks for the license, they get money from each unit sold. So, being that, hey, these guys might stop getting these little micro licenses. Or maybe the micro licenses are like, hey, why are we bothering? Why are we giving them so many hundreds of thousands? Or, well, I guess it's yen, so figure that money up. Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
By the end of the week, 10 yen.
but it might be a concern business-wise is what I'm saying. Like, it might cut into that part of their business. Or better yet, these licenses are like, hey, we pay you guys a lot of money, and that other con just got some bootleg crap.
Well, I also wonder, too, going on that same idea, if Takara is not doing this to try to motivate iGear and some of the other manufacturers to try to pursue licenses like that.
Yeah. Really, but all it, but they're not. I mean, like I said, all they're going to do is go to their own web distribution. I mean, you know, these companies, I think they're distributing through, like, I mean, secondary distributors like Big Bad Toy Store and stuff, just because that's a convenient way to get more product out. But, I mean, there's nothing to keep them from distributing through their own websites, and people will buy it just the same.
Mm-hmm. Right. The only real hurdle with that depends on the size of the operation, and it's the logistics of actually handling and processing that many orders.
Yeah, but that's what Brown is for. They are logistics.
You know, I was like, all, yeah, that shows them right, because I've never been too big of a fan of these third-party IP theft toys like the Warbot and everything. You know, if someone wants to buy it, whatever, but I've never been, you know, too fan of it and the ethics that go behind it. But Geigerlicious said something, and it really made me think. He said, like, yeah, I see what you're saying, but on the same token, these little small conventions with their unlicensed toys, they're okay with us.
Heck,
so I'm like,
I've had unlicensed toys.
I mean, yeah, it's... Mm-hmm. He's like, you've really opened my eyes. While I don't, the difference, I think, would be a few hundred for people attending this convention and are not technically buying them versus how many thousands we can sell this week. But still, that's where I'm like, you know what? There might be a point there to be said that, is it really IP theft when we condemn it in one sector and then praise it in another?
Well, and I can see the difference, like, from Takara's point of view to Hasbro's point of view. I think Hasbro's point of view has been, it moves units, you know. In the sense that people want the cup heads so that they can, so they have to buy a cup to get the cup heads, whatever. You know, Hasbro's just like, well, it just moves more units, and they're not replacing our figure, they're actually increasing the demand for it. Mm-hmm. But, and that's why I say I think I draw the line at things like Warbot and stuff. So I think Hasbro's point of view and their perspective on it is different than, like you said, than Takara's or whatever. I mean, it just depends on how those copyrights work.
There's also the fact of Takara historically has been kind of a bastard to the fans. Where remember the story of the last BotCon Japan, where they were able to get the voice actor who did the voice of Convoy in Japan's G1 cartoon, but Takara stipulated that he could not talk about Transformers.
But actually, come on, Hasbro doesn't love the fans.
No, Takara, they make all the best stuff.
Takara craps gold bars, man.
Takara sells you chocolate covered blowjobs for free.
Moving on. On that note,
I didn't make that one up either. High five.
That was fantastic. But speaking of, I guess, not fantastic, the iGear hot color masterpiece powered Convoy. Yay.
Now, because what else would you do on the heels of Takara cracking down on third-party products but announce a new bootleg?
Is it just going to be Convoy, like the Convoy part, or is it going to include the armor? If it includes the armor, that would be moderately awesome.
It would be moderately awesome, but I don't see that happening.
No, me neither. But I hate myself for actually liking the mock-ups of it. I'm a softie for Diaclone powered Convoy anyway, and I think the colors look neat. Of course, I expect it to be touched up.
Yeah, right.
I'm waiting for the day that I go to the flea market or Big Lots and some of these Fangir things are sitting there on the shelf, like, really?
And I think
laugh and laugh.
Dollar Tree, honestly.
Yeah. Well, remember toward 99 2000 when that unofficial Optimus Primal from Beast Machine started getting
and bootleg? Actually, I've seen that as recently as like 2 years ago in a Big Lots.
Yeah. For a time there, it was like, here's some fan unofficial fan creation that's slowly making the rounds. And then all of a sudden, it's like, dude, go to the dollar store. You got a thousand of those things.
Which one are you talking? I'm not familiar with that.
Remember when Beast Machines Optimus Primal came out and it didn't look anything like the show model?
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
There's an unofficial Beast Machines Primal made at the time that, while it kind of looked more like a doll than anything, it looked really close to the show model in both forms. And it kind of was around for a little bit. And then before long, the bootleggers got a hold of that molding somehow. And
It started out the normal way, floating around the Chinese bootleg market, and then eventually made its way to Big Lots.
Okay. Never saw it.
It's not that great, but at the time it was like, it was one of those, hey, it actually looks like them versus...
Yeah, it's one of those things where, hey, that's more show accurate, and then Air Attack Optimus Primal came out and
Yeah. I still had mine. Wish I did.
I do still have mine. It's on the shelf behind me.
Don't have it. Okay.
Yeah, it's in a box somewhere.
Yeah. So, hey, what did you guys think of Speed Metal? Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Yes, please. If you haven't watched Speed Metal, stop now.
Listening, go. Mute it for a couple minutes. We're going to talk about Speed Metal.
Come back then. Not now.
Yes. If you're watching, I will put on this hat. I mean, this.
The book. What? You're going to put a book on your head.
Look at my head.
Balance some the book call on your head. Book,
I call it a hat.
I'll put the spoiler. You know, Brian, what you need to do is get specially made a hat with a car spoiler on the top of it. That would be spoiler warning.
Hold on, guys. Just get the orange cap. Just pull the orange cap out. That way people know. Because for safety, you know.
Starting next week, that's exactly what I'll do. I need to dig it out.
I got this, guys. All right. Everyone watching the video, while you see me wearing this mask, turn your volume down.
This is not going to be good.
No.
Oh, this is going to be great.
Nice. Okay, this is not as bad as I thought it would be.
All right.
Can you hear Rob?
Yes, I can.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
No, Rob, the correct answer.
So anyway.
What?
Speed Prime. Prime Speed. What was it called?
What?
Speed Metal.
Speed Metal. Thank you. Prime. Speed Metal. I never look at the titles.
Speed Prime.
I have
no idea. It was good. It was a lot of fun.
Can I see this as an episode of Animated?
Nah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Except for the fact that you didn't like the human character.
Yeah.
Well, kidding. Jack's fun.
You know, I mean, this episode really tapped into that whole, you know, teenage insecurities that most people have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm feeling like we have continuity now. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, good point. Very good point.
This definitely wasn't like a monster of the week, you know.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah,
it's a real human story. It's interesting seeing the Transformers how they relate to being, you know, ridiculed and put down, and how they're there to help Jack through this, you know, this crush, I guess.
How they're contributing to the delinquency of a minor.
Yeah,
yes, that too.
And it was also refreshing to see the Monster of the Week return the next week.
Yeah, and his buddy too.
And his buddy, yeah.
Yeah, we're actually expanding the Decepticon cast at this point.
And the interaction between the characters is great. There's a lot of characterization in this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hope they make figures of those guys.
What I want to know,
me too.
One thing I want to know is, where was Ratchet?
Well, I noticed that. And have we just not noticed that other characters have rotated out?
But Ratchet is, of course, the best
back.
Yeah, Ratchet's the best character.
Well, yeah, so we hadn't really... so that's, like, important. It's like, no, the best one was gone. We care now.
They should have rotated Prime off and had Ratchet fill his role in this episode.
Is it just me, or had I not noticed how horrible the mass shifting is on RC? until this
you
episode.
You haven't noticed.
I guess not. I mean, that's what I mean. Like, the shots and everything have been such that, like, I just didn't notice. But then there was just, it was just, like, horrible because he's standing on the motorcycle and then all of a sudden she transforms and, like, her leg is, like, the size of the motorcycle.
He comes up to her knee.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, my God. I even said out loud, holy mass shifting. And my wife, Amanda, was like, yes.
It was awesome. The thing that kind of got me was, you know, through the initial miniseries, RC kind of took center stage, and then she kind of shifted off to the background for the rest of the series. And all of a sudden, here she is in front again. You're like, boy, get back to the background. You're not very likable, RC.
Well, actually, I like this RC. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of the other versions of RC have always been very effeminate in that respect. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is a character that happens to be female. And I mean, she has female qualities, but it's not that girly, you know, sort of like RC from G1.
It's like Override and Cybertron.
It's more like Air Razor.
Yeah, I think it is more like Air Razor. I'd agree with that.
Air Razor with a chip on her shoulder. Yeah. And I think it's the chip on her shoulder reason I don't like RC so much, because it's like, yeah, we get it. You're mean and bitter. Gotcha.
Hey,
she's cool. She's
her best friend got slagged reason. In the first episode. Not only slagged, but turned into a zombie. I think she would be a little bitter, too.
Well, she was bitter in that Prime comic, so what's her excuse there? She didn't feel good?
Well, okay. Maybe she's just bitter. Maybe she's got other stuff, dude. It's been a long war, you know?
Yeah, you're true. Maybe when she finally gets a headmaster toy, she'll be happy.
That's right. Once Jack becomes her head, then...
Don just popped.
It'll be...
And Jack will be hugging her console. RC, I... Don't worry, that's Jack.
I feel it, too.
You feel it, too? Yeah, it's... you're in my head. It's actually a little disturbing. You know, I didn't know you did that when you were in private time.
I love Rebirth so very much.
It's like, you know, the real reason RC became so disgruntled in the Wreckers was not because Daniel died. It's all those binary bonded memories. It's like, oh, he was going through puberty. Could I have gotten an adult?
Oh, God.
Teenage boy and a woman's head. No.
Why couldn't I be with Duros?
Yes.
I wanted Stylor. I'm going to make a proper call. Like, nobody's business.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Anyway, really the show was fun.
So any final thoughts on... which was an awesome title, by the way. I love that title.
It was a very awesome title. I thought Optimus Prime did a good job in this one, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's very much the father figure of the show.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I figured out Prime's model. Peter Cullen and the Megatron voice guy, his name is
Frank Welker.
The Megatron voice guy.
Whatever that guy's name is that does voices in everything.
I'm very tired today, guys, but they're expensive voice actors. Megatron hasn't been in the show for the rest of the season, and Prime's like got one line each episode. I think I figured out how they made their check work. We'll give you each paragraph worth of sentences to say a season.
Yeah, they need to get Rock back.
And they can just kind of play back some of them. Prime, don't worry, I'll kick his ass for you.
Okay, so let's go ahead and wrap up the talk. Rob, take off the mask.
All right.
That is your signal that the spoilers are... Oh, wait. Comic spoilers.
Whoa.
Now, leave it on, Rob. Amy, what's going on in comics this week?
Comics. There will be spoilers, so maybe you should keep it on. Okay. At this week, we have Ongoing 18, and we have Rising Storm 3.
What did you think of Ongoing? I haven't read it yet.
It's good. I liked it. There were a few things in it that I wish that had been done a little bit better, but overall,
Jazz.
Huh?
Did they redeem Jazz?
No, they have not gone back to the Jazz thing yet.
They haven't gone back to it at all?
Well, he appeared in a panel or two in this, but the focus was not on him at all.
Chaz got a gun.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is the Autobots didn't turn around and beat him to a bloody pulp.
No, they didn't, unfortunately. We didn't get that part. Bail. Yeah.
They just stared and went...
You know, they should have instantly just, like, beat the dog snot out of him.
Actually, you know, it would be fitting if Jazz turned around and said, did I do that?
He should have just slagged himself. He should have just been like, hand to it.
Prime's mad, but he basically tells him, don't talk to me. I'll wait till Bumblebee is back in working, functioning order to tell us what we're going to do about you. But, yeah, basically said, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Go away.
Wow.
It was pretty good. But, yeah, Megatron, he beats up Prime, and then he surrenders, only to attack the Autobots on a new level by revealing the awful truth that Spike is out to kill them all. Prime has aligned with the Autobots with murderers. So before the issue ends, Prime asks Prowl to investigate Megatron's claims privately so that nobody else will know except
privately.
Prime.
But wasn't Jazz already aligned with the Autobots?
Yes, he is. What I'm saying is that...
Oh, you mean Spike. Oh.
Yes. Oh.
Somebody snoring, sorry. Well, come on then. Rising Storm 3.
Oh.
Autobots are dispatched to help Sam, but as they leave the home front, Shockwave attacks the Diego Garcia base and their allies. He doesn't waste words. He's a bot of action, and yeah, this one's action-packed and well-written.
Oh, and so is it as good as the first issues?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
This is the second best IDW Transformer story that I've read so far. Would you agree with that?
Yes. First being
Last Sign of the Wreckers.
Yeah.
Last Sign of the Wreckers, yeah. I would agree with that. That's a good one. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. That the second best story they've done is a movie verse story.
It's good. They've done really.
Yeah,
good.
It tells the sorry state of their own in-house fiction, doesn't it?
Oh, the love just not felt here.
Rob was dropped.
Aw, poor Rob. He'll be back.
Sad Rob.
Any news in the comics realm?
Other than that, that's it. That's all that's really out that we've got going on. Just working up to Chaos when that comes out in July.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Yeah. Hey, John, what's going on in the chat this week?
Well, a few good topics came up. Of course, when we were talking dirty names for Hall of Fame, how could you forget Windbreaker?
Oh my gosh.
Get it? Farts.
Windbreaker.
Lols.
Yep.
Also, Don in chat, he wants RC for the Hall of Fame. I don't know why, but he does. He just randomly came up with that name. Also, how about humans for the Hall of Fame? Do you think we're ever going to get to the point where we nominate some humans?
That's when it jumps the shark, I think. If we get to the point that we're a nominee.
I know. Yeah. Well, I mean,
I know.
The Witwickies just as a group.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Mechanic.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yes.
Donnie Finkelberg.
Yes. Oh, nice. Just so we can put that on the plaque.
And he was just
his bronze bust. Yeah,
he was
Donnie Finkelberg, the robot master.
Was a smoker, him smoking a cigarette in a comic. I'm like, wow, there's a Transformers character that smokes. Was he the only smoker that actually appeared in the Transformers universe?
I would assume so.
Yes,
maybe publicly. He's because
wouldn't it? Was it about that time that Marvel didn't they? At what point did they cut?
Smoking like 2 years ago.
Oh, so that's more current.
This is 1984.
I thought it was further back than that. I don't know why I thought it was
the mid-80s. I kind of want to say BlackRock smoked, but I can't remember.
He was rich, so he probably did.
Probably cigars or something.
He could afford it. He could afford those overtaxed cigarettes.
I'm just saying that the reason that they mentioned the smoker thing is because they probably, not that that was like a defining attribute of him, but they may not nominate him.
It was notable.
Yeah.
Mm. No, they would just go back and re-edit that panel to be like a pencil or a radio or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, hey, Amy, I think spotted a wild Ender in the chat room.
Ender's in the chat. Wow.
Bouncing around. Hey, the other thing is, wave Ender if you can. Wave. Chat wave. Anyway,
chat wave.
We're talking about Prime.
Transformers Prime earlier. And so actually Chris Triplett was in the chat and he brought up that he was excited about the toys. Are we excited about the toys? Are you guys still excited? Because I forget they exist. Like, what, periodically. Toys? I forget we're even getting those.
What toys?
Transformers?
The Prime toys.
Oh, I forgot about those.
All right, McFeely.
Yes, exactly. So, like, Chris Triplett was saying he was really excited for those toys. And my initial reaction was, oh, yeah, those are happening.
Holy crap, we have Ender, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely in the chat. That's
wow.
This is an epic chat day.
What the heck? Man. It's late.
Well, it's no Gail Simone, but it'll do.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I mean... What would top that?
It's not my show, but I would love to see Ender back on Fanboy Versus someday. Just
that
to
could,
see.
That could happen, maybe. We just passed our 50th episode.
Cool.
So.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Ooh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Nice.
Congratulations. Yes, nice round number. Anyway, so that's what's going on in the chat this week. Lots of little stuff, good stuff. So hooray for Prime Toys. Don't forget them, please, folks.
Yes.
They are going to happen.
Fantastico. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump to the TF Wiki Spotlight this week with Chris McFeely, where the topic is Transformers gum.
Thank you, Brian. And it is again time for the TF Wiki Spotlight, brought to us tirelessly, nearly every week, by the amazing Chris McFeely. What's up this week, sir?
This week, I'll tell you what we've got. For the Wiki Spotlight, we have got Transformers Gum. Now, Transformers Gum is not actually an article about gum or sweets, as you might think. Candy, I'm sorry, Americans. That is not what this article is about. Transformers Gum was the name of the series put out by Kabaya, the Japanese confectionery manufacturer, with which they packaged their rather... I can't quite call them famous, but they're best-known series of Transformers model kits. If you've heard of Kabaya, and I wouldn't blame you if you hadn't, but if you have heard its name in conjunction with Transformers, you'll probably know that they were the manufacturers of a lot of different Transformers model kits during the original Generation 1 era, and that they have also been bringing out those new ones that you've probably seen in news sites and may have been able to purchase, the new Optimus Prime, Star Saber, Ultra Magnus, those new little mini model kits that have come out recently. But Kabaya foods in general are really thinly documented on the internet, and this is going to be the first in what will hopefully turn into a series of articles that will try and catalog as many of these different obscure types of pieces of Japanese merchandise as possible. We've kicked off with Transformers Gum because it is the most well-known, frankly. If you hear somebody talking about the Kabaya version of a character, then this is probably what they're talking about. Gives you a little overview of the history, the construction of these models, how they were sold, and then a complete checklist, complete with several pictures of kits, which ran all the way through G1, through Headmasters, Master Force, and Victory. But there were also kits done for the Beast Wars, and all the Japanese Beast Wars series, and Car Robots as well, before things got brought back for the new series of model kits that are coming out right now. So this is just a bit of a checklist or a list page, but it's hopefully the first in a series of ones that will be able to catalog and condense a lot of information that is out there quite thinly, even on Japanese language websites, which we have done some trolling of to try and gather all the trawling, not trolling, that's an entirely different thing on the internet, to try and gather some information about all of this stuff to try and make this article as complete as possible. So check it out. It's already got a subpage for the Beast Wars gum figures, and hopefully things will only grow from there. Transformers Gum, this week's TF Wiki Spotlight.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
That Joe's surrounded by Cobras.
Yeah, but that Joe's Sergeant Slaughter.
He's joined the G.I. Joe team.
So we're celebrating by giving away Sergeant Slaughter action figures. But you can't buy them in stores. You've got to earn them. Here's how.
Collect 5 Sergeant Slaughter certificates or call the number on the certificate, and Sergeant Slaughter will tell you how to get in on the action with only 4 certificates. There's a $1 handling charge. See details in specially marked packages.
G.I. Joe.
Nobody chases on Cobras better than Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah,
another RTM1 dub moment.
Hip-hop! Hip-hop! Will you? Hey, can't tell which one of you is Rodimus Prime. Just stay steady, guys, okay?
This is the time.
You're dead meat. Go. Oh, what happened?
You war makers, you'll never learn, will you? I'm not going to let you get away with it this time. None of you.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
Let's come back. Okay, so we are back this week. XV, he got the E-Hobby Autobot set, and I am jealous.
Well, be like two-thirds jealous, because one of the toys isn't that interesting.
And it's the one that you bought it for, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's
nice.
It's just ironic.
Actually, the real surprise with this was that Rodimus is like the prettiest toy in the set.
And is that still going to Protoman?
As far as I know, yeah, nothing has changed on my side for that yet.
For people watching this on YouTube and on tfvideo.net, we're actually playing this, but for our audience at home, just pretend that you're seeing this. So,
for the people watching live, I actually pulled the toys back out so I could wave them in front of my camera.
So
just for you,
just sort of give us like the highlights of the set.
Okay, Rodimus is really pretty. The clear plastic has ended up making a lot of the joints really tight, which makes me sad that Rob's not here, because I could just imagine the jokes and the snickering from a statement like that. And on the same note, the missile is hard to get to shoot too. The trigger takes a lot more effort to press and release the missile now. So I don't think the clear plastic fit exactly the same way as the normal plastic did. But yeah, I mean, if I hadn't already worked something out with Protoman to most likely sell this, I would not hate to keep it. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, honestly, I kind of wanted it for that. Believe it or not.
Well, if the thing with Protoman falls through, I'll give you next shot at it.
Okay, awesome.
As for Cup, it's not as pretty as Rodimus, but I really like the color it came out. Thing is, the color doesn't really reproduce digitally correctly. It's a lot more green than it looks. Some colors just do that. Safety orange is real bad for reproducing on a computer, too. The best thing about this is the paint scrape deco, which really just makes Cup look like he's a really bad driver and, you know, is running into walls and things. We've all been there, right?
Well, how does differ? Because I can't really tell in pictures. I mean, I see some differences, but what are the major differences between Cup and
Cup?
Like, yeah, the Cup generation.
So between Cup and Cup, what? How? Yeah. Does it
Basically, all the paint applications are the same, except for the E-Hobby one has the silver scrape paint on it. The colors are all different. The head, the scalp, is painted light gray, as is the chest. The chest on Generations Cup is just silver, and the head is unpainted there.
RAC's hate to say it, but your webcam picks up the green better than the D4.
Nice. So I guess there's
I was kind of afraid of that. Sad XV.
Triplet actually picked a cup for me, so I'm actually looking forward to getting it. The sad thing is, I saw it 2 days ago, and I'm like, well, I have one on the way, so.
Oh, you saw one on the shelf.
I saw it on the shelf, yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah, I would say yesterday. If you're only going to get one version of this mold, it should be this one.
Right,
it's the best looking one, and it gets the best of the Takara paint app budgets, and it doesn't suffer from having completely ridiculous, nonsensical metallic paint applications. But as far as the way the mold works, it's not like Rodimus. There's basically no physical difference between the toys. Everything works just as well between them. Scrap Heap, I'm just going to hold up to the camera and let you see if you can figure out why I like it the least out of this set.
Wow.
Probably because it's just a field of unbroken brown.
Wow. You need an upgrade.
It's like, hey, when are you going to finish him?
So if Reframe Label does an upgrade set for this.
It's clearly not painted.
Well, there's that. Well, there's what the
monsters.
There's that army of set that has like all the spikes and stuff. Remember that we looked at?
Oh yeah, the third party Junkion add on part.
You'd have to
that's
take it apart to apply that, wouldn't you?
No, there's a chest piece that just snaps on over the front.
Oh, okay. I thought but
and I think the option head also just pops off. It it's just a ball joint.
Okay.
For anything like the shoulder or the knee pieces, anything like that, those would have to be removed for transformation because, it's not made to accommodate that. But no, what I'm thinking, though, is if Reaper Labels does a set for Scrap Heap, I would definitely be interested in that.
Yeah. He really need it.
Yeah. The new head is okay. It's a little bit different shape than Rekgar, so it can actually move around a lot more freely than Rekgar's head does, mostly for the fact of not having the chin and beard. Me and John were talking about this before the pre-show started, and most Scrap Heaps seem to have kind of iffy paint on the visor.
Rekgar head, for the people who don't.
Yeah, that's putting it diplomatically.
It is little...
Well, I would call mine iffy. I know yours apparently came out worse.
I call mine atrocious.
It looks like it was
applied with a Sharpie fine point red pen.
The bad news, besides the toy being kind of bland, is that it has the same stress marks in the hands problem as Rekgar. And would very likely also have the problem where the handlebar hinges could crack. The first thing I did with this is to cut those nubs off of the inside of the handlebars just to try to prevent that from happening. And so far there's no cracks, but we'll see how long that lasts.
Has he ridden Rekgar yet?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, if you can see, Scrap Heap's crotch is completely painted. Rob, save the jokes for later. and he plugs in a lot more securely to a Rekgar because of the added thickness of the paint. And trying to ride a Rekgar on Scrap Heap, it's pretty loose. Besides the fact Scrap Heap is a really bland-looking motorcycle anyway, Rekgar makes a better-looking ride for Scrap Heap. So yeah, this is a toy that I actually really bought the set for. I like the cup, too. If I had only wanted Scrap Heap, I probably would have skipped it and tried to buy it separately. But I gotta say, it's the one I'm most disappointed in on the set, too.
What's your disappointment? Masterpiece Rodimus Prime.
Well, I didn't buy that. I'm not an idiot, Kilby.
Biggest disappointment ever.
I'm waiting for the Miracle Hasbro version to be like, hey, I'm only $70.
$80.
$15.
But yeah, even with the Scrap Heap being a little bit disappointing, I am in general really happy with the set, and I would definitely recommend it for, around the price it was pre-ordering for, $120, $130.
Not going to get it for that.
I mean,
no.
Probably not, but, if you want to try to part them out separately.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, people are trying to sell them separately for, $70, I think, online? $60, $70.
Probably.
What are you selling Rodimus?
It'll pass.
What are you selling Rodimus for?
I'm just going to try to get cost back out of it.
Okay.
we're brokering a deal live on air.
Hey.
Not like it.
Hey, I'm just trying to squeeze in. So let's go ahead and jump to the topic. It's sad news, very sad news. And honestly, I didn't realize that it was the case, but Power Core Combiners.
It's over. Finished.
Really?
Oh, well.
That's like the...
I'm calling shenanigans on this one. You know why? Because it's just right to be fit in a Cyberburst.
Yeah.
So while it may not be technically Power Core Combiners by Hasbro, but it might just be the new Devastator in Power Core Combiners in Cyberverse by Hasbro.
The concept, may live on, but the subline dead.
It's over.
That sucks.
We got a year out of it and a few good toys.
Well, they got they got I could say my dad got 4 months out of cancer, and what a wonderful 4 months they were. It's not like That was really awful, but it's true.
Wow.
It's not. Jeez.
Good night, everybody.
Man. No, I don't know. I guess it never caught on for me. Like, it's one of those things that I thought was cool until I got it in my hands, and I picked up a few of the sets, and I just... I mean, I like some of the individual figures, but the power core combining thing, I just never got into.
You know, JD, when you got them, did you feel like you got your money's worth? Like, were you
Yeah. I mean, like, seriously, like, I've got, like, you know, Ice Pick sitting on my desk. I love this figure, but I don't give a crap about grabbing the, you know, mini-cons or whatever and connecting it to it to make the robot. Like, it's a decent figure on its own, and that's kind of how I feel about it. Like, some of the figures are decent figures on their own, but I don't feel any great need to connect the drones to them and make them, you know, the big robots.
It's okay anyway, because Ice Pick's torso mode is kind of lousy, so.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a nice figure. Mm-hmm. I like that as a standalone figure. Like,
you know, one thing, actually...
It's got a great combiner head, though. I'll give it that.
Yes, it does.
The distribution model of Power Core combiners, I think, are one of the big things that killed it.
Oh, me too.
I mean, I had to order Wave 2 off of Big Bad Toy Store because I could never find it. Now I'm buried in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can find Wave 2 anywhere I go.
I haven't seen a Brimstone.
The problem for me with being buried was Wave 3, the recolor wave.
Those are everywhere, too. But if I want a Sledge... or any of those, I can find them easily.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Leadfoot once and got Leadfoot once. Anything else from that era? No, but you know what? There's still a ton of Huffers. It's a great mold, but crap.
If you want another Leadfoot, I can get you another Leadfoot or five.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean...
Yeah, Rob, you got to fill up another Sport Mac box.
Yeah.
The problem for me is that until the Constructicon set, I didn't really feel like I didn't feel like the drones were really being all they could be. You know, the Constructicon drones were completely the best ones produced.
I didn't pick them up. Triplet picked them up. I didn't.
I skipped. I will say again for the distribution that the distribution, like, out here has been terrible. Like...
Well, yeah, very few places really got the Dinobots or Constructicons in any quantity. I know a lot of places got, you know, maybe one set, like one shipping case of them, and then there was just...
And I think the other problem is that even though some of us as fans like kind of like these figures, they did not sell well. I mean, it's not like those things were jumping off the shelves and into kids' hands.
Dinopope is
not at all. I mean, I don't think Hasbro would say it was probably like it was worth doing, but they're not going to say it was a success.
No.
There's no way they would say.
Yeah,
no,
I would definitely give it like a lukewarm.
I mean, I've seen those $20 packs on sale anywhere ranging between $10 to $15. And they still just...
And they still don't sell.
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't look impressive on the shelf. I mean, they don't look like they're worth $15. They don't look like they're worth $25. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's no diversity in the toy line. If you look at it, I mean, you have two different construction sets. And then you have, you know, the dinosaurs, which are great. But it's mostly just sort of generic vehicles. There's nothing there that sort of screams, hey, I'm way different than this toy here, or I'm way different than this there. It's all generic stuff.
In that sense, its strength is its weakness, because the point of the line was that it was supposed to be mix and match, hundreds of combinations of different figures or whatever. Mm-hmm. But all that did is water down the line. It just meant that there was no diversity.
Yeah, and look at the diversity of things like I'm not talking Micro Masters, but Micro Machines. I mean, but there's a bajillion different. You know, one Micro Machine looks incredibly different than another, and those are like a third the size of these drones. They could have done so much with this, and they really didn't do a thing.
Well, I mean, they sort of have an engineering problem. Those things have to be able to auto-transform and be able to turn into either a leg or either an arm. And that was my initial complaint. Like, the way I kind of envisioned this was that they could turn into either. But no, you're set to, you know, it has to, the way that they designed it is through auto-transformation. It's either an arm or either a leg. So that limits what you can do from an engineering standpoint.
And that expands what you can do from an engineering standpoint. If you had to be an arm, if you could be an arm or a leg, I mean, that would limit it. I mean, the fact that you're limited to one mode means that you can do more with that mold. I don't think that limits it at all.
Or you should be able to do better versions.
Yeah, I really hate that it's gone. I really hate that it didn't sell. I think we did.
You did have a special attachment to it.
I do.
You know, it really reeked of something like, you know, half the company believed it and half the team.
Yeah,
the company didn't.
And you know, we both work for large companies. We both see how, you know, some people, at least, in my business, some people will be diehard about a program, and another people will, you know, think it's the worst thing ever. And so there's conflict. And yeah. I can totally see what you're saying, John.
Yeah, it's like dead on arrival. It's like, this isn't going to make it because half of you guys don't even want to support it.
And it also had no fiction to support it either.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And part of the cornerstone of Hasbro's sales model since they started the Transformers line has been supporting fiction of one kind or another. Either pre-existing fiction like you see with the Universe line or current fiction within like the movie lines. But this had nothing. There was no fiction to even support it from a fan standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah, the closest we got was Smolder appearing in one of the Cyber Mission shorts.
Woohoo. Who watched that?
Yeah, I know.
That's
not me, you know. So, I mean, like I said, I think conceptually it was good. I think in execution-wise, for me, it was okay. But it just, they missed every opportunity that they would have had to hit in order to make the line work. So, I mean, it was going to die.
Yeah, Ender has a good point. They should have called them "Who Cares Combiners."
Well, the thing is, though, at Toy Fair last year, we did all really care about it.
Yes. Oh God, yes.
Oh yeah.
Because the concept is great. The concept is fantastic. I was in love with the concept. It's just that the execution didn't get anywhere near it.
Well, I mean, from a fan standpoint, the characters that were created really weren't engaging. They didn't go in and, you know, really pull from the fiction of, you know, that we had the Stunicons, we had the Dinobots, and we had the Constructicons, but that was kind of too little too late. There was no, you know, it's like with the Action Masters, like, you know, these are characters that we know and love, and or the classic Pretenders, these are characters we know and love, and they've been put into this new form. All of the toys and all the characters were basically new original characters that, you know, there was no attachment to whatsoever. You know, if they had released Bumblebee Power Core Combiner, that would have sold. If there was an Optimus Prime Power Core Combiner, that would have sold. But we had none of that.
Or if there was a series. That was
promoted as positive, you know? Like, so Aaron Archer made a big deal about how these aren't your dad's Constructicons, you know, and these aren't your dad's Decepticons. They just look like each other, you know, they're like extended family, but that ended up being kind of a negative
because
we want our dad's Constructicons, and it just made them kind of anonymous.
You know what would have been cool? If they would have done like a semi Power Ranger style animated TV show for them, like that, you know, like that would have been cool.
Something out like My Little Pony and Flash.
Just something with like
friendship is magic.
Yeah, like three or four Autobots and three or four Decepticons, you know, and they each have their drones and mix and match and whoever, you know, like that would have at least given kids something to attach to push the line. But
you know, alas,
honestly, what I think would have made it so like gangbusters, outside of fiction or absorbing more well-known characters into it or putting them into well-known characters, a card game. Because, you know, more I think about it, it's very Bakugan-ish if you think about it.
Yeah.
I can really see that.
Or even like an app, like a little mobile video game or something relatively cheap, or a Facebook game or something like that. Just something to like create engagement.
They're collectible. I mean, the human compulsion to collect was not tapped at all.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention, like I said, I was waiting for the random Minicon or drone booster packs to pop out.
Yeah,
by the car.
Where was that? Like, that was.
I would have been on board with that too, because if you count the recolors, there's a lot more commander figures than there are drones to fit them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if they would have come out with, like, even a deluxe priced drone pack.
Hell, I would have bought blind packed drones, honestly.
Yeah, even that would have been awesome, you know?
Yeah.
I kept waiting for, since the Minicons would connect to drones anyway, getting Minicon drone team packs, like some smaller price pack at Family Dollar.
Yeah, actually, that would work. You could do that, like the Tiny Tins were sold for years.
Yeah, those hit it off. That would have been good. No reason for them to hit it off, but they hit it off.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think you hit onto something there, John and Brian, where, you know, I think it's just that this was a fill line, somebody's experiment. It was somebody's baby, probably Aaron's, that really wanted to push it out, and nobody else got behind it, and it was just left to die.
Yeah.
And you know what the big failure is? It wasn't Mugenbein. I can't say it, but that's
Mugenbein.
I can't say it. I've heard people say it both ways.
I'm still betting. Just like every other concept that doesn't seem to take off, it's going to get absorbed into something. I mean, alternators eventually farted out. Well, look at movie toys.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, and if we never see this gimmick again, we'll know it was really put in the doghouse.
It's like, you know, every gimmick finds its way back in the line, either called something else or just absorbed. Like
the best alternators toys are the freaking movie toys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the
Human Alliance toys,
far and away better. The Human Alliance Bumblebee is far and away better than any alternator that we ever got. They all utterly sucked. It was the crappiest line ever, but Hasbro managed to salvage it with Human Alliance. So,
as I look sadly at my alternator, like,
this guy's an idiot, but no, it's true. Automator sucks. Have a nice day. Yeah. So, hey, let's go ahead. We're running really long. Let's go ahead and quickly throw up Twitter Theater. So let's go ahead and see that.
No, that's not it. A little more here. Yeah, that's better. What's that?
This week's Twitter Theater is 100% official and canon. Yes,
it is.
It happened. And this, because of this week's Twitter Theater, because just like other Twitter Theaters, in a few months it's going to be all over the internet.
What was this, Killing Jar? What was this episode?
It's not Killing Jar. It's season 3. This episode is going to raise the aftermarket price of Octanes from Universe 08.
Such a crappy. never raise the aftermarket price of that.
Yes. Basically, Octane is flying a spaceship, and he's having a hard time tuning in robot porn.
Nice.
He's like, come on, and the screen clears up, and there's a robot girly.
Could it just be, honestly, that that's our polluted, dirty minds?
No.
Respect? Okay.
No.
No, that's too obvious.
It's like, too obvious.
He's like, come on.
It's a little bit more.
She's a little bit more feminine than RC and Chromia and all of them. It's like, look at my pronounced girl parts.
Yeah. Nice.
Exactly.
Those were missiles.
Yeah, they were. Torpedoes.
You know, it's cold in space.
Flotate devices.
Nice.
It is very.
She turned into a submarine. Those were her ballast tanks.
Yeah. God.
Get us out of here.
Okay. That's for this week. Sorry for all the technical difficulties. Next week, we will be back in our full capacity, I promise, I hope.
No, we won't.
Yeah. So, for the guys, don't forget...
Throw more money in it, Brian.
Don't forget, visit us at tfradio.net, follow us on Twitter, at tfradio, and if you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You'll be a better person.
Yes, be a better person. Listen next week. Thank you for listening. Adios.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.